هون لگل اس بی اس کردینه ل sbs.com.au/kurdish چی روکن هیجا ببینن.
Mental Health Month is celebrated each year in October. This month encourages all of us to think about our mental health and well-being, regardless of whether we have experienced mental illness or not. It also gives us the opportunity to understand the importance of good mental health in our everyday lives and encourages help-seeking behaviors when needed. But this year, the changes brought about by COVID-19 are impacting us all. As a result, the important work of Mental Health Month is even more vital to the well-being of our communities. Our guest today is clinical psychologist Shan Baker-Sorakli from Des Moines Psychology. Shan, welcome to SBS Kurdish.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
As mentioned above, COVID-19 has impacted many people psychologically, and as you know, October is Mental Health Month. How important is it to encourage people to speak out and spread the awareness?
I think it's really important, and I must say that in Australia, I think it's actually becoming highly effective. And I think that's demonstrated by the number of people accessing psychology and other mental health services. You know, the rise in people in Australia accessing services from one view might look like more people are becoming unwell, but in actual fact, I think things like Mental Health Month are decreasing the stigma, raising the awareness and making it okay for people to go and see psychologists or even go and talk to their GP about their mental health concerns. So it's a really important month to have. It's really important to raise the awareness of mental health. It is something that in many cultures still, even in Australia, is still considered to be a problem that no one wants to talk about, or there's some sort of shame or embarrassment attached to it.
Shan, let's talk about depression. What causes depression?
I mean, that's a fantastic question. And there is many, many different kind of variant factors that can cause depression. That's really kind of important for people to realise actually also. Often people come in looking for one reason that might be causing their depression, but depression is multifactorial in its etiology. There's many different reasons, and I can give you a few examples. You know, for some people, if you find yourself in an environment or a situation which is constantly negatively reinforcing, which is a position in terms of a person having very limited autonomy, not being able to change or affect good positive change in their life, it's more than likely that you're going to find yourself depressed. Now, that could be the case in your work situation. That could be the case in your relationships, in your family relationships. But there's many kind of factors there. So sometimes it might be somebody who's been quite healthy who now finds themselves in a different situation where they're unable to affect positive change, where they feel more helpless, where they become depressed. And for others, it runs a little bit more deeper than that. As we grow up, we all develop coping mechanisms, some of them really good. We develop really good positive attributes. But sometimes we also develop coping strategies which kind of work but don't work so well. And these continued kind of patterns and behaviours, mm-hmm. thought processes, how we believe the world functions and how we feel about ourselves and our internal core beliefs, or can contribute to somebody developing a depressed mood or a depressive episode.
Now, in regards to anxiety and stress, what is the difference between them?
Well, I mean, that's a really good question too. So it's important probably to say straight away that both anxiety and stress are normal. They're normal parts of the existence. And they actually can be beneficial for us also. The problem with both stress and anxiety is when they become so high and the levels are so significant and so often that they start to cause a significant interference in our quality of life. So if you want to look at the differences between stress and anxiety, stress is a very normal kind of hormone, is a very normal state of experience when we're having to do many different things or even just one thing that's taking a lot of our internal resources. So, you know, with stress, it tends to be an accumulation of our demands. And, you know, often when we are free from those demands and when we can get rest, our stress levels tend to drop. Now, anxiety is something different, and there's a huge range of anxiety disorders on the spectrum, ranging from things like specific phobias, like a classic example is if you're afraid of heights, or the most common anxiety in the world is public speaking, believe it or not. Or, you know, it also ranges through to things like another thing that the public's often heard of is like obsessive compulsive disorder. But we have many other different ones, like social phobia, so, you know, fear of socializing. We have generalized anxiety disorder. But when it comes to these anxiety disorders, the specific things which make them significant is a real psychological distress and a physiological distress. So it has to be to an extent where it's actually causing you physiological distress, so you're feeling it physically in your body, and it's quite preoccupying, and it takes up a lot of your time, and it affects your ability to kind of thrive in life. You know, there's often with anxiety, there's always like classic kind of rumination of thoughts, and there's always an avoidance element to anxiety as well, like a way to try and avoid a fear thing. So there's the avoidance and the rumination of the thoughts maintain the disorder often. That's just generally speaking anyway.
Sean, you're of Kurdish background, and at the top of the interview you mentioned that a lot of people are maybe ashamed or embarrassed to go and see a psychologist. Now, how important is it for migrants or non-English speakers to seek help, if needed, about their mental health?
Absolutely. I think it's very important. You know, I think that every human being experiences mental health concerns. And, you know, it's said that every single person will be clinically suffering from a mental health issue at least once in their lifetime. Now, the problem with the stigma and the shame and the embarrassment is that actually sometimes people are suffering really unnecessarily because the problem they're dealing with really can, you know, they can really get treatment for it and they can actually totally overcome their condition. But unfortunately, what we see happen is, you know, if you go and see somebody about your mental health, you're seen to be weak. If you go and see somebody, it's an embarrassment. In some cases, it's a shame on the family, all these sorts of things. But in actual fact, it's, you know, in my opinion, if you go and see somebody for your own mental health, it's an absolute sign of strength, because it takes strength to look at ourselves, to go and talk to somebody about it. And it's actually a commitment to making a positive change in your life. So, you know, for all cultures in Australia, particularly non-English-speaking background males especially, we know that they're far less likely to attend for mental health treatment because of the stigma associated around it. I mean, that actually extends to the general population. More men are going now, but it's probably about 3-1 females to males who seek treatment. So, yeah, we want to encourage all family members to, you know, not only be aware of their own mental health issues, but also of their family members, their brothers, their sisters, their parents, their children, and be really open to this because it can really improve their quality of life.
Now, finally, Sean, is mental health illness treatable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is really important for people to understand. You know, if you've had a period in your life when you haven't had this mental health concern and you've now suffering from something, it is absolutely treatable. If you feel like you've always suffered from it, it is still absolutely treatable. Most mental health conditions, you can be in total remission from. So that's really important to know. Some mental health conditions might require you to seek ongoing treatment for the rest of your life, and that's not a bad thing. That's just about improving the quality of your life. That is more usually the case when it's a chronic psychosis condition or a really kind of mood stabilizing issue like a bipolar illness. And but if we're talking about ones that are quite severe, then yes, it might require ongoing treatment, but you can essentially live a really high quality of life symptom free. But when it comes to depression, when it comes to all the anxiety disorders, when it comes to all the phobias, when it comes to all these internal beliefs and behaviours which cause problems in our relationships and our suffering, we can totally recover from all of those, you know, including substance abuse issues, gambling, all those sorts of things.
Clinical psychologist Sean Baker-Sorakli from Des Moines Psychology, thank you for speaking to us on SBS Radio Kurdish program.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thank you.
دەتەوێت بابەتی دیکەی وەک ئەمە ببیستی؟ گوێڕایرە لەسەر ئەپڵ پۆدکاست، گوگڵ پۆدکاست، سپۆتیفای یان لە هەر کوێیەک پۆدکاستەکانت بەدەست دەهێنیت.